The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Former President Donald Trump, welcome back to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Great to have you on again, sir.
Good morning. Hi.
You're always the best interview in America because you always make news. So I want to start with a national security question. If President Xi Jinping sends ships to invade Taiwan, should United States submarines sink them, Mr. President?
Well, I wouldn't get into that. And it's not a good thing to, because those things you just don't tell to the world's favorite radio host. You just can't do that. And you have to keep some things to yourself in terms of strategy, because we're working hard and we think we're doing really well and we could get back there very soon. So I don't think you want to be broadcasting that. I can tell you this. Ukraine, Russia would have never happened if I was there. And Taiwan, which is a possibility, a strong possibility, would never, ever have happened if I were there.
Let's go to Ukraine. They want F-16s from the United States. Should the United States send F-16s to Ukraine?
I think the United States should negotiate peace between these two countries, and I don't think they should be sending very much. They should be negotiating peace. And the other thing is Europe has to do much more, because Europe is doing probably just a small fraction of what we're doing. Not probably. They're doing a very small fraction of what we're doing. We're going to be in there, I believe, for $107 billion, and Europe is in there for a tiny fraction of that amount. And obviously, it's bad for everybody, but it affects Europe more than it affects our country. And that's the way it has to be. You know, when I took over, NATO was delinquent on most of the NATO countries. There were 8 that were paid. There were 20 of them that were delinquent. And they were very delinquent. Some hadn't paid at all. Some were very low. Germany had paid less than half. France was down. Many countries were very, very delinquent, had not paid. And I said, fellas, you got to pay, and you got to pay now. And if you don't pay, we're not going to protect you. That's right.
Do you want to cut off aid to Ukraine right now, Mr. President?
I want to make it so that Ukraine and Russia have to fight and fight for the last time. And when they get, we got to make peace. If we don't make peace, if we just keep sending everything, you know, we're sending everything over. They got to fight for the last day, for the last 2 days. This thing has to stop, and it's got to stop now. And it's not going to stop if we continue to just load something up. Now, I will say this. If Russia was not a willing participant, I would have a different mindset. But right now, there's no reason for them or anybody else to sit down. We don't have the leadership to get them to sit down. Look, you. I think you believe it. Zero chance this would have happened. I went in with Russia early on. I ended their pipeline. I did everything. Nord Stream, nobody ever heard of Nord Stream 2 until I came along. I ended everything. And Putin will tell you the worst he's ever had is Trump. You know, they talk about Trump. He loved Putin. I get along well with Putin. But nobody was tougher on Russia than I was. If you look at it,
have you read, Mr. President, the Columbia Journalism Review expose of Russia, Russia, Russia? It came out in the last 4 days, and it devastates the New York Times and others for their coverage of the Russia, Russia, Russia steel dossier. Have you read that yet?
I have seen it in summary. I'm going to read it tonight. I hear it was incredible. By the way, before, just to get back, I'm the one that gave him the javelins to knock out the tanks. I did things that Russia could not be happy about. You know, Obama was sending them pillows, if you remember, and sheets. And
yes.
I sent javelins. And, you know, so nobody was, and I sent them a lot of javelins. And they used those javelins to start the war very successfully, knocking out all the tanks. So, but we have to get that negotiated. We need peace. We have to have peace.
Yeah,
it's got to happen now. It should have never happened. You, there was a war that would have never happened.
You know, Mr. President, Margo told me I have a heart out, so I got to ask you a lot of questions in a hurry, unless you tell Margo that you want more time with me. First hard question. Some worry that if you are reelected president, you will use your powers to seek revenge on the people that have been after you since 2016 and 2015. What do you say to those people who say that you'll abuse the office if you're reelected?
Well, when you look at that Columbia report, which was very devastating to the New York Times and to really everything, to our country because of what they did. I was a victim, and everyone knows it. And now they really know it. That was a well-crafted report by a rather liberal, I'm being nice, group of people.
The Columbia Journalism Review is very left-wing, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to be nice. But that was a devastating report, and I think probably more so than anybody else. Well, the people that participated, but the New York Times was truly made into either a smart and evil group or a very stupid group. And by the way, I'm suing Pulitzer, and this should be almost the end of that, because if a judge and jury see this report, to give back the Pulitzer Prizes, because the New York Times and the Washington Compost got it strongly. They had all of the different things. They knew everything that was going on. They reported so badly. You know, the Pulitzer Prize is supposed to be for great reporting, for accurate reporting. Congratulations, you've done. Well, they got it exactly wrong.
They did get it wrong, but my question is, if you're back in the Oval, will you use the powers of the presidency to punish people who punished you?
No, I wouldn't do that because I want to bring our country forward. No, I wouldn't do that.
One of the best things you did when you ran the first time.
Some people think that's words, but I wouldn't. I would be entitled to a revenge tour, if you want to know the truth, but I wouldn't do that. I would want to straighten out our border. I would want to get inflation down, build our economy up, which is actually doing very poorly. You do have a potential disaster on your hands with the war. You also have a disaster with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. I get along with him great. He always liked me. You saw that. And he doesn't like Biden at all. And he's arming up. And Iran is arming up. And you got to do something about it.
One of the people who is going to declare for president this month, according to reports this morning, is Nikki Haley. If she runs for president, what's your response, Mr. President?
Well, she called me and she asked me about it. And I told her she should follow her heart. You know, she said numerous times, I put it up, actually, that I would never run if our president runs. He was a great president, et cetera, et cetera. She said that numerous times. But she's a very ambitious person. She just couldn't stay in a seat. I said, you know what, Nick, if you want to run, you go ahead and run. She's
probably earlier today, Larry Hogan, who's going to run, told me that if you are the nominee, he will support you. My question to you, Mr. President, if you're not the nominee, will you support whoever the GOP nominee is?
It would depend. I would give you the same answer I gave in 2016 during the debate. The first question I was asked by Brett Baer. I was asked two rather interesting questions. It would have to depend on who the nominee was.
Are you still mad at me for the triad question, by the way?
No, but it was the only question that I answered, not terribly, but I didn't answer it. I think I had a good excuse. I was just in the game when you asked me about the triad, the nuclear triad.
I think it's fine. I just want to know if you're going to do a lot of debates this time.
But I did say, you've always got a trick up your sleeve. But no, I wasn't upset about that at all. I think I gave a half-assed answer.
Well, I do have a trick up my sleeve. You named the Supreme Court list before you got elected. Are you going to do that again? And will you tell us who your attorney general, your Secretary of Defense, and your Secretary of State will be before you get elected if you're nominated again?
Well, I won't tell you now, but I will do a list. I already have a list very much in mind. I was in a position where I put in three, and that was pretty good because some presidents have never had the opportunity to do one. You know that. And there could be some pretty big opportunities within, after 2 years, because you look at the age factor, it just works that way. But no, I'm going to do a list, and I very well might name some of the people. We have great names that want to be with us. We have great support, tremendous names. We got J.D. Vance yesterday. He endorsed. We have
on this show. On this show, he endorsed. Yes. Now, let me close before Margo calls up by asking you about Governor Youngkin, Governor Abbott, Governor DeSantis. You got like eight people who might run. Will they all get a nickname? I know Pompeo's nickname is My Mike, but will they all get a nickname if Mike Pompeo runs or Youngkin runs or Abbott runs? Will they all get nicknames?
Well, first of all, that's not Pompeo's nickname. I believe it. It's not it.
I thought in his book he says it's My Mike.
I don't know. I haven't seen the book yet. I haven't read it, although I heard he was generally nice. I think.
Oh, very good to you.
Yeah, he took a little bit more credit than he should, but that's okay with me. It's all you know, going to the same, because we did a great job. I got along very well with Mike, but we did a great job. This country has never been run so well. This country, despite the COVID and all of the things and all of what you read yesterday in that report. Don't forget, these guys, before I even got in, they were spying on my campaign long before I got in. This didn't just happen. And if I didn't fire Comey, and if I didn't fire McCabe and Strzok and Page and all of that scum that was in there, you would have had, they were trying to do an overthrow. And they, just think of it, they spied on my campaign from the time I came down the escalator, and here I am innocently running to do something great, and I have this garbage that's in there, headed up by Comey and the group. They spied on my campaign, and I got rid of them all. I got rid of them all. But it was more than them. It was more than them, and you know that, and you know that's coming up.
I do that, but I know Margo's calling. So you got to tell me, though.
Okay, don't worry about Margo. Margo's great. But
well, okay, then we'll go. Tell me about the nicknames for Youngkin and Abbott and Pompeo.
Let me just say this. They spied on my campaign. We had an amazingly solid group of people and a tremendously solid what I did with tax cuts, regulation cuts. I rebuilt the military that they gave so much of it to Afghanistan. Think of it, $85 billion to Afghanistan. All the different things. What they did, they were trying to subvert. What they did was incredible. But it started off. Remember when I said very innocently, I think Obama spied on my campaign. And that thing turned out to be, that shook everybody because they knew they did it. And the place went wild. And I'll never forget, I get a call from, I guess you'd call him comms. This is long before I got into office. Oh, yeah, this all took place long before I got into office. But I get some call from the effectively comms person. Sir, did you say that President Obama spied on your campaign? I said, yes, I did. And I didn't know. It's a big statement. It's a hard statement to make, but I didn't know it was going to be picked up. Probably the biggest, and I've had some big Twitter at the time. Now it's Truth. And by the way, Truth Social is the hottest thing, and it's doing great. I hope all your listeners get on Truth Social because that's where it's at.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Are you going back to Twitter? Are you going to do anything on Twitter?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I appreciate being put back on. I'm there. I'm sitting there with like 90 million people. By the way, I should have had 200, 250. I think I had way over 200 million when you include. I had, according to Zuckerberg, another beauty, I was number one on Facebook. He came to the White House and he said in front of a large group, congratulations, you're number one Facebook. Think of it. They took me down from Facebook. They took me out of Instagram. They took me off of Twitter. So I went from having maybe 250 million total to nothing. And I had to dig my way out of that because I have a lot of things to say. And I did. And I did it with a thing called a press release. You're one of the few people. You're at an age where you remember the word press release.
Yep.
And those it was Save America press releases. And it took me about a month to say, how do I get my word out? Because so many people wanted to hear, and I did them, and they exploded. And we opened up an incredible platform, and it takes a while, and it's very expensive, called Truth. And Truth Social is the hottest thing there is. It's been unbelievable. And, you know, I got the word out. So I can go back to Twitter whenever I want. And, you know, I have some ideas planned, but, you know, it's just not necessary. Truth is so hot, and I'll always have Truth.
All right, so I want to go back to the nicknames because people want to know, what's Nikki Haley going to be? What's Greg Abbott going to be? Is Glenn Youngkin going to get a nickname?
Well, I've never, people said I gave Youngkin a little bit of a nickname. You know what disappoints me about Youngkin? he ran, nice guy. I endorsed him, which helped him greatly. But then he ran, and he was not doing very well, but he was inching up, and he ran against a sleazebag, who I knew very well, Terry. I've known very well, but Terry's a sleazebag. Everybody that knows him would know that. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to hear it. But he ran, and he ran hard, and he worked hard, and my endorsement meant a lot. But at the end, he needed me to do something, and I made a call. It's called a teletown call, teletown hall, they call it. And it goes to every home. It goes to vast homes in the state of Virginia, in this case. And I gave a 15-minute thing, and we had thousands and thousands of people on that call. And there wasn't any person that wasn't on that call that didn't go and vote. And he won by, you know, a fairly tight number. But I had, you know, far, far, far more than that number. Somebody said 444,000 people were on that call. And he was really nice to me, gracious to me in writing. He wrote me the most beautiful letter you've ever seen, thanking me and everything. But then they decided, because his campaign manager is a smart guy, Jeff.
Very smart guy.
Yeah. Jeff Rose said, he did it without Trump. He did it without Trump. He did it with me. And I didn't like that. So he wrote me this beautiful letter and called me and I thanked me. And I said, listen, perhaps you'll thank me publicly as opposed to thanking me behind the press's back. And, oh, yes, I'll do it. But he never really did. I did a lot for him, and he got elected because of me, just like Ron DeSantis, even more so. But even more so. But Ron DeSantis got elected because of me. You remember he had nothing. He was dead. He was leaving the race. He came over, and he begged me for an endorsement. He was getting ready to drop out. I gave him an endorsement, and as soon as I gave that endorsement, in fact, I said, you're going to have a hard time. He was running against Adam Putnam, the commissioner of agriculture, who had a massive lead. He's been running for 8 years while he was commissioner. He had $40 million in cash. I believe it was 40. And he was up in the poll massively by, you know, but not catchable, not even catchable. He said, if you endorse me, I'll win. And there were tears coming down from his eyes. He said, if you endorse me, I'll win. I'll say, you know what, Ron? Ron was one of 150 people that was on television. I mean, Jim Jordan was the best and others were great. But he was one of 150 of you that was on television, and he was supporting me on the impeachment hoax number one and a little bit on the impeachment hoax number two. And I said, I don't know Adam Putnam, so we'll do it. So I end up doing it, and he wins. They say it was like a bomb went off, just a bomb just totally went off. From the moment I endorsed him, he went from losing by numbers that are not catchable to winning easily.
And is it your position, Mr. Trump?
Then I got him past the crackhead, who was the hottest person in the entire Democrat Party at the time. And he slightly took a different position afterwards, but that's all right. Him and Stacey Abrams were the two hottest politicians. They were going to be the party of the future, the Democrats of the future. And I did two or three rallies, average size, like massive. They were massive. I said, you're going to win, Ron. He said, I don't think so. Nobody thought he could win. First of all, I got him the nomination and purely got it. And people of the campaign of Adam Putnam will tell you, because they say everything collapsed the moment I pressed that trigger. And then I got him into the general. And then they say, will you run against the president? Like 2 years later, will you run against the president? And he says, I don't want to talk about that. This is not something we're talking about now. I said, that's not a very good answer. Now, in the case of Nikki Haley, she's gone around publicly. You saw it's all over the place.
Correct.
And she said, I'll never run against my president. He's a great president. He's been our greatest president. I'll never run. But Nikki suffers from something that's a very tough thing to suffer from. She's overly ambitious.
You know, Mike Pompeo says in his book that she asked you to become the vice president in place of Mike Pence in the 2020 election. Is that true?
It's absolutely false. That who asked me? Nikki Haley asked me to be vice president?
Yeah, that's in, according to John Kelly. That didn't happen?
Can you imagine that I would run as vice president?
No. Nikki Haley asked you if she could be your vice presidential nominee in 2020.
She said that she asked me if I'd be her vice president.
No.
That would be a big story. If anybody would say, yes, I did, you should immediately take that person off your list as ridiculous. Okay. No, I did not ask her at all to be vice president. Nope, never mentioned it to her.
And she didn't bring it up to you?
I don't want to say that. I'm not going to embarrass her. But I have never asked her to be vice president.
So, Mr. President,
a lot of people would like to be. No. I think a lot of the people running. Look, I'm way ahead of the polls. Ron DeSantis is way behind me. Everyone said, well, Fox will put up a phony poll, you know, because Fox is not Fox of old, that I can tell you. I'm sure you know that, too. But Fox will put up a fake poll. But I'm way ahead in New Hampshire. I'm way ahead in South Carolina. I'm way ahead in Iowa. And I'm way ahead in the country.
Are you looking forward to the debates, the Republican debates?
Yeah, I always look forward to the debates. Debates will be good. I guess I'm talking to you because of debates. If the debates weren't good for me, I wouldn't have been there.
I tell people you will do every debate. You skipped one debate in 2016. It was a Fox debate, and then you came back. But you're not going to skip any of them this time?
Well, I have to see. I mean, no, I skipped the Fox debate. You know why? Because
yes,
they were not treating me fairly.
Yes.
And I said, listen, you're getting all your ratings because of me. I'm the one, you know, those debates were very highly rated. When I skipped, it was nobody watched, okay? And I said, you're getting all your ratings by me. You got to treat me better. And I said it loud and clear to Roger Ailes, who I really liked. You know, he was good, but he was a player. He was a wise guy, no question about it. And I did very well in the debates. I mean, I'd be supposedly legendarily well. Nobody wants to write that.
So I got to wrap this up or your team's never going to talk to me again. I want to know about if you have the position, if you've done someone well, if you've helped Youngkin or DeSantis or Nikki Haley or Mike Pompeo, is it your position they should not run against you if you've helped them?
Yeah, I would say that, but I know how life works and I know how politics works. And politics is it the microcosm, but even more vicious, of life. So, you know, I've helped all those people. I took Mike out of nothing. And, you know, I'm surprised because Mike said, I believe the same thing. I believe he always said he'd never run against the president. And, you know, time goes by and then they want to run because they're ambitious people. But, you know, they're polling very poorly. But I heard Mike said some very good things in the book. Look, we did a great job. We did a great job. That was an amazing job. You wouldn't be in Ukraine, and you would have never been in Taiwan. And Putin knew that better than anybody. Nobody was tougher in Russia than me, but I did it with a smile. I got along with Putin. He used to say, they say you're easy on Russia. You're the worst that we've ever had. I stopped his Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Biden comes along and gives him the Nord Stream 2 that was totally dead.
Yeah.
And he gives it, and then they say, and that's the biggest thing they've ever done. There's never been a thing that you.
So let me close with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. First of all, have you received a target letter from any grand jury?
No.
Okay. Do you think Hunter Biden's grand jury?
I didn't do anything wrong. Just so you know, very nice. I didn't do anything wrong. President of the United States, I had the power to declassify. They didn't. I didn't take anything from being a senator. He's got a high. Well, here's an interesting one. He's got, I guess he has 1,800 or 1,850 boxes at the University of Delaware. And that's where it's going to be very interesting to see what's in there. That's a lot of boxes, but he's got 1,850 boxes, I guess. I read at the University of Delaware.
Do you think that the search is at his house?
By the way, I had a locked premises. They looked at it. They saw it. I was talking. You know, we have a thing called the Presidential Records Act, and it's very precise, and it's exactly for this. And it says you will talk. It's not a criminal act at all. And we were talking to them, doing very nicely. All of a sudden, they raided the house, and they shouldn't have done that. But I mean, they definitely shouldn't have done that. And I think it backfired. Now, the raid on Biden, he knew about it. He was in the house for 2 weeks before they went in. They were there for a short period of time. It wasn't a raid. They knew he was coming, as I understand it. And, you know, you really have two standards and two sets of justice in this country. And the people of the country are not happy about it. I have a guy as a special prosecutor who's just hates Trump. His wife hates Trump. His sister-in-law, I believe, hates Trump. He's a Weissman guy. He's a Comey guy. He's a Obama guy. And it's a disgrace what he does to people. A disgrace that he should be ashamed of himself, Jack Smith. I have no idea what his name was. Perhaps he changed it. But let me tell you, Jack Smith sounds so innocent. And what he does is a disgrace. It's a disgrace to this country.
Has he been in touch with you already? Special Counsel Smith?
I've never spoken to him. No, I've never spoken to him.
So I got to close by asking you about the double standard. Do you think the American people recognize a double standard and that it will be a political issue in 2024?
I do, because they're smart. You don't have to be smart to recognize it. Now, the Republicans, me in particular, because, and the other thing is, you know, they're a party of the, if you look at the Democrats or the Marxists or the communists, whatever you want to call it, because they didn't stop. You know, the train never stopped at socialism. Okay, it was supposed to stop at socialism. It just passed that. So we're into communism, Marxism, and other things. The fact is that if you look at the way they behaved, it's unbelievable. They're destroying our country. The border, millions and millions. I believe the number is 15 million, not 3 or 4 million. And they're emptying their prisons, and they're emptying their mental institutions, and they're taking all of their people that aren't very productive, and they're sending them over to us, and we're taking them like a bunch of fools. Our country is a dumping ground, and we're not talking about the three countries or the four countries that we always talk about. We're talking about something much different than that. We're talking about, yesterday was 129 countries were represented sending people into our country. We have no idea who these people are. They're terrorists, they're rapists, they're killers, murderers.
President Trump, breaking news. Nancy Pelosi says she will endorse Adam Schiff for Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat if Feinstein doesn't run. What do you make of that? Those are some of your favorite people, right? Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff.
Horrible. They are so bad for this country. Adam Shifty Schiff is a liar. Remember when he lied about my phone call? And then I say, I keep lying. I said, let him lie for a little while. And he lied, and he got it before Congress, and he actually copied my phone call and made a speech, and then and said horrible things. And then I said, I have good news for you. We have it on tape. And he died. And so did Nancy Pelosi. They didn't know what to do because they had already started the impeachment. So they said, let's make the best of it. And they got killed. In fact, 100% of the Republican Congress, 100%, and everybody other than Romney, Mitt Romney, he's a beauty. And he actually voted one of the two votes. It was two votes. He actually voted one in favor. But 100%, like 196 out of 196, voted in my favor. It was a terrible thing they did. But Schiff is a liar. When he made up that speech, and then I said, wow, he's got big liability. No, he's protected because he's in the halls of Congress. He's in the Capitol. And so, therefore, he's allowed to lie as much as you want. He made up a phone conversation that I had with the president of Ukraine. And it turned out that was where the word quid pro quo came from. There was no quid pro quo. I think he said seven times quid pro quo. Can you imagine asking somebody for the same thing seven times? I think you're a nut job. So this is where it came from. And Adam Schiff, what happened here, you, what he did, and he lied, and he's the sick puppy. Remember, he said, we have absolute evidence. It will be released later. And you know what the evidence is? Read the Columbia report. Read all of these reports that are now coming out years later. And I'm not only exonerated, I'm hailed.
Well, the Columbia Journalism report has got to be read by everyone and passed around. Okay, Margot is called, so this is absolutely my last question. Is Jared running your transition in advance of a 2024 win?
No, not no. I told my kids, they're great kids, and they've been just brutalized by these corrupt politicians, these corrupt people that spied on my campaign and so many other things. If you can believe it, worse than that. Now, I don't know how you could be worse. Can you imagine if I spied on, let's say, Obama's campaign? Can you imagine? They would have reinstituted the death penalty. Nothing happened to these people. Now, think of it. If I spied on Obama...
So, Mr. President, are you bringing anybody back if you win again? Are you bringing back O'Brien, Pompeo?
I had great kids who were forced to suffer at the hands of scum, real garbage. And I don't want to put them through that again. I love my kids. I have a great relationship with the kids. Ivanka is an extraordinary person in every single way. And I want them to have a life. I think it's just a nasty thing for them. What they put those kids through, and those kids were straight and honest. When I look at Hunter Biden and all the corruption and what's on that laptop, my kids were straight, solid kids. They were before grand juries. They had to go before on stuff that these people made up. I mean, it was all made up. Russia was a hoax. It was made up.
But they're not coming back.
Jared won't be involved. And I don't want them. I want them to go out and have a nice life.
What about the other people like Mnuchin and O'Brien and Pompeo?
Well,
successful.
I have a lot of great people. Look, I rebuilt our military. I got us the largest tax cuts in history, the largest regulation cuts in history, right to try, created Space Force, which, by the way, was a great thing to do because we're getting clobbered by China and Russia. Space Force, first time since 78 years, Air Force was the last one, that this has been done. Space Force is booming now because of me. I created it. And all the things we did, nobody's done. We had the strongest border in the history of our country, strongest border. And 2 years later, it's the worst border in history. And by the way, worse than any third world nation, because no third world nation would allow a thing like that to happen to you. What's happening to our country is we're being poisoned. We're being poisoned. Think of it. They're emptying their jails and their mental institutions into the United States of America. Think of it. It's not even possible. We did a great job. We had the greatest border we've ever had. We had the greatest economy we've ever had. And then I had to do it a second time because of COVID. I handed over where the stock market was higher than it was just before COVID came in. Nobody's ever seen it like that. And, you know, but here's the good thing. I know so many people, you know, when I went to Washington, I was very much a novice, you know, ran a great campaign. I won. I did. By the way, my second campaign was better. I got 12 million more votes, my second campaign. And in Florida, in this last thing, as you know, I got 1.2 million more votes than Ron DeSantis. People don't know that. But I got 1.2 million votes more than Ron DeSantis. So we did a very good job, and I'm very proud of it. And I have great people. I know all the people, and we're going to do something. I think we're going to have a great campaign.
Keep coming back, Mr. President. You're always the best interview in America. I appreciate the time. And tell Margo it's not my fault.
I'll tell her. I'll try and get you off the hook. I don't know if it's possible, but I'll try.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Look, you did the tough thing during COVID. You paid your people and pulled your business through the pandemic, or really the lockdown. And now, doing the tough thing could qualify you for up to $26,000 per employee at COVIDtaxrelief.org. Government funds are available to reward companies with two or more employees who stayed open during COVID. This is not a loan, and you don't have to pay it back. The program is complicated, but nobody knows more about it than the CPAs and tax experts at COVIDtaxrelief.org. You pay nothing up front. They do all the work and share a percentage of the cash they get you. Businesses of all types, including nonprofits and churches, can qualify, including those who took PPP loans, even if you had increases in sales. You did the tough thing for your employees during COVID. Let COVIDtaxrelief.org help you get up to $26,000 per employee. Visit COVIDtaxrelief.org. That's COVIDtaxrelief.org.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live from Studio West, joined by former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. Good morning, Governor. How are you?
I'm doing great, Hugh. Thanks for having me.
Are you enjoying retirement?
Well, I'm starting to get used to it. It's been almost 2 weeks now, and it's a little bit of an adjustment, but we're keeping busy.
Now, Governor, you're a Ravens fan, so I expect you to answer this question the way that Lamar Jackson answers a Miles Garrett rush, which is to get out of the pocket and do everything you can to not answer this. But I saw you do this yesterday, and I'm just going to ask it 10 times. Will you support whoever the nominee of the Republican Party is in 2024?
I imagine that will be the case. I'm anxious to find out who the nominee is going to be.
Well, I'm assuming... that no one knows, but it might be Donald Trump. So you're saying if it's Donald Trump, you'll be willing to support him?
Yeah, as I've said, Hugh, I don't think it is going to be Donald Trump, but you know, we'll cross that bridge or jump off that bridge when we come to it.
Now, wait a minute. That was a little Lamar Jackson. Earlier you said you'd support the nominee, and then you said we'd cross the bridge. I'm not letting go of the leg. I'm like Miles Garrett. If Trump is the nominee, does Larry Hogan support him?
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to be the nominee, but I'll support the nominee.
There you go. That's what I want. Now, talk to me about when you're going to decide. Nikki Haley is in the news today as likely to announce before February 15th. When is Larry Hogan going to make his decision?
Well, it doesn't come as a surprise. I mean, you know, Nikki's been working on this for about 5 years, and I think we all expected she would run. She's a friend. She's great. Was a great governor, and you know, I'm glad to see her in the race. You know, I think the more voices, the more people out there, the better, especially people that have some executive experience as governors. I think there are a number of us But I'm seriously considering it. I don't have a time frame, but we're going to make a decision fairly soon.
Would that be by the end of the month, Governor?
It's possible, but we don't really have a deadline on it.
All right, talk to me a little bit. I was out at the RNC winter meeting, and the theme that unites all Republicans is education reform. Now, you dealt with a deep blue legislature run by teachers' unions in large part. So I don't think you were able to do much on school choice. But how much does that issue matter to Republicans in 2024?
Well, it matters a lot. It also matters to Democrats, believe it or not. And we did have some success on school choice, in spite of the fact that we had a huge teachers' union, very powerful, and a 70% progressive, far-left Democratic legislature. We didn't do all the things we wanted to, but we pushed the school choice initiative. We had scholarships for kids to attend the school of their choice in Maryland. We pushed for both public and private charter schools. We provided scholarships to thousands of kids to go to the school of their choice and give them an opportunity for the first time. But this was not just popular with, Republican primary-based voters. It was even more popular among Black voters. And residents of Baltimore City, because they're the ones that are in the persistently failing schools and desperately want an opportunity for their kids.
I hope everyone hears you say that and they adopt that. The Hogan Ducey show at the Republican Governors Association was always entertaining to me. You're going to get back into politics. Ducey has said he's not. There is a problem in Washington, D.C., which you will be aware of, which is the Chamber of Commerce has crashed and burned and nobody pays attention to it. Do you think Ducey would come to D.C. and run the chamber if they asked him?
That's a great question. I'm a huge fan of Doug Ducey. He's a good friend and obviously has a great business background. I think he'd be terrific at running the Chamber of Commerce. I haven't spoken to him about whether he would take it or not, but he'd certainly be the kind of person that I think could give some leadership to the business community, and he'd be a great choice.
You've worked with the business community in Maryland, both in Baltimore and throughout the rest of the state. Are you aware of how badly the chamber at the inside the Beltway has crashed and burned?
Well, there's no question about that. Some of the local chambers still do a pretty good job, but they seem to be lacking direction in Washington, and sometimes not. It doesn't appear to be focused on issues that they should be focused on. Look, my whole 8 years as governor, I'm a lifelong small business owner who ran for governor to turn the economy around. And I changed the entire mission of state government to be unabashedly pro-business and pro-jobs. And, we got a progressive legislature to cut taxes 8 years in a row by $4.8 billion. We had the biggest economic turnaround in America, went from 49th out of 50 states to number six. And we eliminated a $5 billion deficit and turned it into a $5 billion surplus. So we've got more businesses open, more people working. And we did that in the most hostile place anywhere with a very heavily Democratic legislature in both houses. So it can be done, but it's not easy. And you've really got to focus and push hard to get these things accomplished.
Let me ask you about Kevin McCarthy. Speaker McCarthy had negotiations with President Biden yesterday. He will not tell people what he wants to cut. I approve of that strategy. What does Larry Hogan think about that, about negotiating behind closed doors as opposed to through the press?
I agree with the strategy, actually. I'm a believer in that. Look, it can't be my way or the highway. President Biden saying he's not going to negotiate at all, and Speaker McCarthy not negotiating at all. But I think, sitting down together, if you're not going to have real discussions, then they're not going to be very productive. So I think sometimes you can make more progress reaching common sense agreements and moving the ball forward if you're not negotiating in the media. And it's how we were able to get our overwhelmingly Democratic legislature to go along with some things. We had a lot of discussions where we each had very strong opinions and we disagreed, on a lot of big issues, but we sat down and listened to one another and tried to push toward, solving the problem. And I think that's what could happen with the speaker and the president, because this is refusing to negotiate is not leadership. I mean, you can't get anything done if you're not willing to listen and find common ground. It's not an easy problem to solve, but it has to get solved.
Well said. Now, Governor, I want to turn to the other issue that divided the RNC, or at least was a discussion in the hallway quite a lot. On the spectrum of abortion rights legislation, Democrats support radical abortion rights legislation. I call it due date abortion, abortion right up until the baby is delivered. Some Republicans favor radical no abortion statutes, including no exception for rape and incest. All Republicans support the life of the mother. What does Larry Hogan think ought to be the model statute? And should the federal government put it forward, or should it be up to the states to decide?
Well, I am a states' rights guy and always have been. And I think that the states do have and should have the right to place reasonable restrictions on abortion. And that's where we are right now. I also think that sometimes some Democrats are, you know, far too extreme on the pro-abortion side, and I think that sometimes Republicans make the same mistake on the flip side. And I think most Americans do not believe in abortion up to the moment of birth, and or even late-term abortions. But they're not in favor of outlawing all abortions, and they do agree with exceptions. So I think, again, it sounds like, you know, some people are very polarized and very strong, never happen or should always happen. But I think most people in America, you know, have a more nuanced position where they think, you know, we need to find a reasonable way to solve this really big issue.
Now, Governor, I agree with that. And that was temperate and nuanced. Debate stages don't allow for temperate or nuanced. I remember ABC's George Stephanopoulos asking Mitt Romney if he wanted to ban birth control. And it was just such a weird question that the former Massachusetts governor, now Utah senator, was stunned by it because it was so stupid. How should it be even a topic for debate stages? Because everyone needs about 5 minutes to lay out their policy and the people can compare and contrast. I just think it's a gotcha question on debate stages. What does Larry Hogan think?
Well, look, I think you've got to be able to answer any question on a debate stage. But I agree. It's not if you look at polling, it's not the issue that people are deciding on. It's far down the back. People are concerned about the economy. They're concerned about crime. They're concerned about education. You know, and not to say it's not an important issue, but it's not on the top of anybody's mind, really. And it's not what most people are making their mind up on. But yes, if somebody wants to ask that question, you got to have an answer. And I've been on debate stages and answered the question. And I think everybody expects you to say yes or no. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-choice. It's not, you know, you have to give the real answer. How do you really feel? This is, you know, I'm opposed to abortion, but, you know, I'm not for, you know, putting people in jail for, you know, getting an abortion in some of those circumstances. And I'm not for, you know, federal funding of abortion or, you know, abortion on demand up to the moment of birth. So it's like any other issue. You have to tell them what you really think.
What is the, this is a way out there question. How much time should a candidate on a debate stage be given to answer a question that is difficult to answer? 75 seconds, 90 seconds? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on that, but, you know, I don't like when you really don't get a substantive or intelligent answer when it's too short. So enough time to kind of articulate the real position is important.
I couldn't agree with you more. Governor Larry Hogan, gotcha. Miles Garrett got Lamar Jackson, and I appreciate your answering the question. Keep coming back, Larry Hogan. I will be right back, America. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.